Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and we will start our wonderful time of Friday fellowship after this song plays. If I could get it to play. There we go.
Battle you've won. I am who you say.
All right. He is our champion. He has conquered it all. And we need that truth. We need to believe, and we need to stand on, walk, embrace, and make our life a reflection of that belief that he is our champion. And so a lot of the information that we're receiving in this, I pray you can hear me well. I hope my setup is efficient for our time together. One of the things that we're coming to have to embrace and challenge is, what do we believe? We have the t-shirts, I believe God. And, you know, we need to ask, and the author does in a lot of our workbook time, he challenges, what do you really believe? Because he asks these questions that oftentimes we'll say, oh, I never thought of that, or I never thought of it that way. And I think that is just an indication that now is the season and the time. He has prepared us to then have these thought-provoking moments with him, because we understand the work of the Holy Spirit in our life to bring this knowledge and this wisdom and this counsel. Fear the Lord and the strength, and the fact that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And so now we are being perfected by his word. And we know the word. The word is not unfamiliar to us. However, a closer look at the word reveals even deeper revelations and understanding that can only come from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so in starting this study with Bruce Wilkinson on the secrets of the vine, we're each week trying to discover some things of really, what do we believe? I like the author says in one place in the book or the workbook or the devotional, we are caught up on what we hear ourselves saying, but we are not observing what we are actually doing. And when you compare the two, they don't often line up. And the reason they don't line up, are some of the reasons they don't line up, are that we don't believe what we think we believe. We know it, and we're coming to have relationship with it now, where we understand we really can't live without the truth that we have received. You can receive a truth, but that does not mean it transforms you unless you can hear a truth. It doesn't mean it transforms you unless you receive it and then treasure to establish a true and living relationship with it. So what are some of these truths? And the author starts with his illustration of John 15 and Christ. Last full conversation with his disciples as he's on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is praying and releasing his will into the will and the hands of the Father, and he's about to lay down his life for you and for me and for the world to receive a hope for the sickness of the sin and the darkness that has come upon it. So at this very crucial, pivotal time in their relationship, he takes the time to illustrate the functioning of the vineyard, the grapes, the fruit, the branch, the vine, and then the vine dresser. And that's when we get this wonderful picture of the Father being the vine dresser who goes daily. I love that imagery they shared as is the process of tending to a vineyard. And that the vine dresser goes daily with a bucket of water to cleanse and clean and lift up the leaves that have a natural tendency to crawl around along the ground in the dirt and become embedded with dirt and mud, and then become sickly with mold and the different things that hinders them from being full productive, but they become diseased. But it is the job, and we see that, of the wine dresser to bring this cleansing with this water. And such a wonderful illustration of the water of the word. And the author uses scripture, 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 scripture. And we want to look at those scriptures as we do our study, which is what will really lengthen your time in your study, because we need to look at them and examine what's in them that is put upon us to clean us and to lift us up and attach it to the higher places in the plant, so that we would have access to the power of light and the sun and produce fruit that is abounding in abundance. And so we're looking at the things that we can translate that to in our natural life and spiritual life, and then govern ourselves accordingly. And so I think one of the most important parts of this illustration is that bucket of water, because that's something that is going to directly touch us. And that's the word of God. And it has to become a part of us. It has to be a part of the cleansing. And the fact that we are attached to the vine, and the vine is Jesus Christ, and that which is in him will flow into us. But even with all of that, if there is a disease in our leaves, then that flow won't have its abundant result. And the author correlates that diseased leaf with the dust and the dirt with sin. So the air gets us to the point of, at the bottom of all this abundance or lack thereof is that word, sin. And then it's going to be important for us to examine what do we really believe about sin and its relationship with God. Not what we say, but in our actions. What are they indicating is our true belief? Because in search for significance, we realize that starting at the end of our process of interaction with anybody or any thought is the fact that it goes through our belief system. And then whatever that belief system is, and it's wonderful to say my belief system is I believe in Jesus, but if there are things that Jesus did that you don't really believe enough in that you are going to emulate them, then that really isn't a part of your belief system. You know it, but you have not come into relationship and understanding of the power of it. And that's what he's challenging with some of these questions. He is challenging us. He starts by, at the beginning, actually, of each section, what we want to discover. So in our first section, we want to discover what God wants us to produce with our life. And so often, you know, we have conversations, but most people, I don't know. okay, what the Bible means by fruitfulness, and then how important our fruitfulness is to God. And we can say, well, yeah, you know, we know some, it's important, but do we really understand the importance of it to God and how proactive God is in our life today to help us succeed at our mission of fruitfulness? And so did we even see fruitfulness as a mission of our life? Our life, it may be the mission of the lives of, you know, evangelists or people that go forth in the field, depending on what you believe and understand the fruit to be. But getting an even greater understanding of that indicates that that fruit is really good works. What good works? Not good things that you do. The good works that you do that glorify your Father, not because they look good, but because they are motivated by that love of Christ that is flowing from the vine to your branches. And it's that and that alone that is motivating the actions that come forth from you. And then the four different levels of fruitfulness for believers and the fact that it does exist, and yet they are still believers. He's talking to the apostles for the church. It's not Old Testament concept for the temple. This is for the church, which indicates there are going to be members of the church that are not producing fruit. And it doesn't mean that those people are not Christians, are not saved, and therefore they need to be thrown out. No, it means that there's something that's hindering their production of fruit. And that's some of the things that we're going to find out what they are. And what can you do to cooperate with God's amazing plan? I felt that was the most powerful statement for me, because I never realized I needed to cooperate. You know we need to obey, we need to trust, there are all these things we need to do, but I never looked at it as cooperating with him. And he's asking us, you know, what are you going to do to cooperate with God? I love that, and I love the path that led me to in my studying and in my seeking and in my actually desire to know and my prayer that we have one at the end of each one of our weeks. And that prayer, a very powerful prayer that we're going to share. And in it, it's that, Lord, I want to cooperate with you. And so these are the things that this first section is challenging us with. It's not, okay, do you know this? No, it's challenging. How much of your life is your understanding and belief in these areas? And so some of the questions are very profound, and some, you know, can answer, well, I know what the word says, you know, like Jesus invited the men to do more than just make a living, but he said, follow me and I'll make you, and then it's a blank, fisher of men, just to fill out and fill in. But then you have questions like Jesus didn't want Peter's failure to permanently disqualify him as a fish of men. What are three serious sins that you think keep people from living a productive life for God? Now, it says that you've seen in people. I challenge you that you've seen in yourself. What three serious sins, the three sins that people are practicing constantly, not releasing, not growing from? And so we're going to see how God addresses that, because God is going to intervene. So that becomes a part of what our discussion is going to look like in the next weeks that we're studying, that faithfulness reading. And so what we're going to develop, what we're going to discover, what we're going to look at is what keeps your Christian life fruitless? And then what negative consequences result from a fruitless life, and what you do to make them stop? And then how the Bible defines the word discipline. I love that breakdown of it and what God's motives and methods are in the discipline, and what level of discipline you might be in right now. A lot of times, and oftentimes, people don't want to think, feel, or believe they're really being disciplined. I think it was very interesting. In reading this, I kept looking at the thinking. My mind kept going back to Job and how those friends of his were just so convinced that it was some sin in his life that caused him this suffering, and how we often get that that thought, and how in that particular instance, that was not true, okay? And yet, we can look in Scripture, particularly Hebrews 12, and it clearly says that that is what God does to get our attention. And then actually, ultimately, there were things that Job did not consider. And because he did not consider them, it was a place that he wasn't being abundantly fruitful, because there was more fruit that could come from his life and was getting his attention. Not that he causes us, well, he will allow pain to be a part of that process, and that's because that's what generally gets, and it definitely gets the attention of those people around us. But one of the key things from the Job scenario is for us not to judge, okay, another man's suffering. That is not for us to judge. Ours is to seek an understanding from the Holy Spirit what our role in that is, and then to be sure that we stay true to the role that has been given to us. I thought it was very, very interesting that a lot of things that seem right, okay, they seem right, but the end thereof is destruction. And the reason is because we're using our own understanding. And so that actually is one of the answers for me. I'm going to read the prayer at the end of our first section. And so it says, "Dear Lord, this is my prayer for fruitfulness. Thank you that you have created and commissioned me to bear a tremendous yield of fruit for you in my lifetime. What an amazing destiny. Father, I reach now for this destiny with all my heart. I don't want to miss a single opportunity to do the good work you have prepared for me to do. Forgive me, Lord, for letting distractions and deceptions pull me away from your wonderful plan. I invite you as the wine dresser to shape the branch of my life to what in whatever way you desire, so that I will yield a greater and greater harvest for your glory. Grant me your grace and power to accomplish this. And then teach me in the days ahead how to cooperate with you, not fight against you, and I will praise you from whom all my blessings flow, in Jesus' name. This is my prayer." And through this prayer, there's confession and there's praise, there's acknowledgement. And when I got to the part at the end, it says, teach me how to cooperate with you. And I thought, what are the instructions for cooperating with God. And I should know. I have to know. Otherwise, how will I know if he's teaching me? And so we have to seek the instructions. That's how he teaches us. He shares later in different places that it may come through a sermon, a person, a scripture, message, a word, a song. But I am to be always with the mindset of learning and desiring to hear how he would have me communicate, to cooperate. And honestly, it works because he does tell you. And you can feel his presence with this urging because it is the desire of our heart to instruct us in the way of cooperation. We are generally not a cooperative type people. That is not our natural nature, but it is our spiritual God prepared and perfected nature, because it was the nature of Jesus Christ. And it shares even in this prayer that I'm acknowledging now that I have an amazing destiny. I think what we have a question challenging us, what passions you to wake up in the morning? You know, what are you excited about in the morning when you wake up? Because there should be something that passionately motivates our even daily movement, thought, and we are always that center of everything from that point, that passion, that destiny. And then knowing the destiny is an amazing one. So often we don't feel our destiny is all that great, you know, in our eyesight. But it is God's will, so therefore, you know, let your will be done. But we should have a joy about an amazing assignment that have been assigned to us, really, because it is an honor. It is a holy, reverent honor. That's all we receive. That's part of what we receive in the fear of the Lord, that reverence of God. So now we're seeing how that sevenfold function, Holy Spirit, just starts to manifest and bloom and explode in our thinking, in our understanding, in our heart's desire. It says, let me desire with all my heart to reach for this destiny, to reach. I love the word on the class of 2021 is like God has a grip, and we have a grip as well. And with this grip, we reach and grip him to bring us to the place of this amazing destiny, and to know that it is him that will bring us there. It is him that is the perfecter. I love it in Hebrews 12 when he shares about the process in which he's going to intervene when sin is stopping us from this abundant fruitfulness, that in that process, he is going to bring about what the Father wants. And it's wonderful that it may be through chastening, but it's also it may be through urging or rebuke. So he gives us different levels that he's going to use. The book called them love, degrees of love, and yet I don't believe it's a degree of love, but it's definitely an expression of love that has, the expression has degrees, because depending on what we need is how that love is going to be issued to us, released to us, flowed to us through the Father, because he must do that which will bring about our good. And so as he shares with us, you know, how attentive are our ears to what he is saying. And so if a rebuke in words or in emotion, or I love the illustration that our workbook has, and the diagram like that actually outlines it very, very nicely on day three of week two, and just how you can look at those things and start to examine your life. And this is how we examine in Search for Significance. It says examine daily. This is part of that examination. This is part of the instruments we use to examine. This is part of that water in the bucket that is the standard that we need to bathe ourselves in. And when that is not taking effect in our life because sin is blocking, then he's going to bring it, because he said he will perfect all those things concerning him and concerning us, so that we are being given to him without spot or blemish. And so, I mean, I'll skip ahead of myself there for a moment, but just to bring to the forefront of our thinking, what do I really believe? And so he shares the fact that there can be things that keep our life from being fruitful, that fruit that abounds much. And so he says it's a time now to exchange this barrenness for a bountiful harvest for the glory of God. And so we are asked, too ordinary, is it too ordinary? I'm just not especially gifted. So how can God expect my life to produce eternal results? And a lot of us, not knowing our destiny, not knowing and understanding and believing what the Word says about us. And I love the songs and things we say in the scripture. I am who God says I am. Yes, we are. But do we walk and believe that we are who he says that we are? And that's the place we're becoming in relationship with that scripture, with that understanding. It's becoming a part of, I won't have to say it any longer, because that's like saying, I'm a human being. It's not necessary for me to declare it, because it will be obvious. It will be apparent. And so so often we have to break through to new truths, and those truths aren't those truths will dispel the lies of the enemy. Again, that search for significance. And so often we didn't think we had those problems until we evaluated some of the things that resulted from our life. Not the things we said, but the things we did. And that's by where, you know, and then why we did them. Or I'm too busy. I'm already overwhelmed just making ends meet and doing what has to be done. I don't have time to bear fruit for God. So that's believing that is something, first of all, that I have to do. The fruit comes naturally because of the relationship. So it's nothing extraordinary that you have to do to add to your plate. I love the, and I don't know if I'm getting ahead, but the thing of pruning. We see that he lifts up that which doesn't bear fruit. He lifts it up, or it says he takes it away. It is him lifting it up in love, cleaning it off, and then attaching it into an environment that brings fruit, because it gets exposure to the sun. So in that state, there's still things that must be done. Now, it's having fruit. You are producing fruit, but now there's an opportunity to produce more fruit. So he prunes you. In other words, he cuts away perfectly good bark from your branch. And the reason he does that is because that bark, I believe the author shares the fact that it thickens. And when it thickens, and because it's maturing, and think of this as your Christian walk, your Christian life, It becomes strong. It definitely becomes strong. But that's a strength in and of itself. We are not to be, we're to be weak. So that he is strong in us. So that some of that has to be cut back, because it actually crowds the stem, and then the sun can't get in to the heart of the branch to produce more fruit. So you have a level of fruit, but you don't have an abundant level of fruit until that shaved back and thinned out. And then so often what God does to us, he thins our flesh out. So many times you hear people say, I don't have this, I don't know that. He didn't take them that away. And that it wasn't that they were bad things. They just were not the things that would bring an abundant harvest in your life. And that's that pruning. That's that cutting away of you. Cutting away of you. The more I decrease so that he can increase. And that way it doesn't look so much like a branch, you know, this wood that's on the branch, but rather from the branch, these new stems will come forth that are ushering from the flow of the vine, the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ that is taking over this branch and its fruit. And so this is the illustration that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to give to the disciples, because this was the process that they were going to really become extremely familiar with, and they would have an understanding of why these things must come to pass. And so often, that's that too busy, just things in our life that are just in the way of the sun reaching the core of our heart. Or you're too discouraged. Every time you try to do more for God, you know, you fail, or you fall on your face. And so you don't want to try again. That's that thing, you know, I am a failure, I'm a shame. And and so you don't, you feel defeated because you're using the measure of another standard to judge your behavior. And so you feel like you fall on your face because you don't see the kind of results that you think it should be or that you want the world to see. And so because you don't see it, you feel your failure, so you're not going to do it again. You're not going to put yourself out there like that again. It wasn't received like you thought it should be, and so you become discouraged. And those are some of the things that, you know, we're searching for our significance in the wrong place, in the wrong results. We're looking at our worth and our standard and our value and our fruitfulness, really. We're looking at it because you don't always, fruit won't see fruit. Fruit produces fruit. So it may not be the fact that you're going to see your fruit. Your fruit is for others to see. That's what is to draw others. Or you're too indifferent. Seems like fruitfulness matters just for religious professionals like pastors and missionaries and me. I'm just a regular lay member, they call us. And so as a result, you know, all I have to do is come to church and pray, pay my tithes, pray, read my Bible, and I'm good. And it's like, no, there's an amazing destiny on your life, and you must reach for it. You must grip your hands around it and desire it with all your heart. Or I'm too inexperienced. I can't do it because I didn't go to seminary. I'm old now, and my words get, what is Moses say? I stutter. You know, I get tongue-tied. I can't go before certain people or any people, for that matter, because, you know, I'm shy or all of these things. I'm too inexperienced. And we're reading and learning. And remember, there's scripture to dispel these lies. There are scripture truths that we have to come to believe in, like Zechariah 4 and 6, or 1 Corinthians 1 and 20 through 31, or Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 12. And not just say them, but then take them and use them in your thinking, in your response, in your judging, in your standard, in your understanding, in your interaction with individuals. That's what you base it on. And you base it on that because of the reverence you have for the vine dresser and desiring to bring him glory. This is a start of a new life of fruitfulness. Is do we believe, it says, but as producing results for God becomes a great passion in life, you'll overflow with joy that comes from doing exactly what you were created to do. As you abide in Jesus the vine, God will be at work to continually increase the flow of his love and power through us. His branch to, through us, his branch to the whole world. This is the great and amazing purpose for which you, God, has saved us. And it says, will you say yes? Say yes to knowing you have an amazing purpose to pray that God will teach you how to cooperate with him so that this purpose will manifest in the earth realm and be a blessing to the world to bring the light of Christ to them. That this vine connection, that this vineyard connection is going to be to the glory of God. The baskets are going to be overflowing and full. And so our talking point is for this week or today, who is the chosen one to answer? So I've been talking. I'm going to let y'all talk. We summarize where we are now going into chapter 3 and 4, week 2. But to this point, and at this point, what truth, what belief of yours was challenged? What belief was challenged or illuminated? What belief was illuminated? I know y'all out there. You may as well say good morning and start talking.
Okay. Follow you. Where are you?
Huh? We're all in. I'm not on page. I'm in week one. All over the page. We were summarizing all of week one. So we have finished week one and in the book. We've done the best news that you don't want to hear. We've gone to that point. We have been revealed the first secret of the vine. That's if your life consistently bears no fruit, God will intervene to discipline you. We're understanding it's a good hurt. We're understanding that's part of his the responsibility of the vine dresser. That's his job. He's going to go through and bring a cleansing. We want to cooperate with him as it relates to that cleansing. And then what you believe, what do you believe about God's involvement in this process? What do you believe he wants? Do you believe you have an amazing destiny?
I believe he wants us to bear fruit, like the Lord says. Then looking at then, you know, then and now, like when I say then, I'm talking about the disciples that are going on.
Okay.
Excuse me. I've been trying to wrap my mind around you know, exactly or visualize when they were walking about and what have you, you know, compared to today environment. Just in talking with people or even striking up a conversation with people, I don't know. To share, you know, God's word, or to, I know many opportunities can arise, you know, in different environments like the doctor's office, the grocery store, but I think a lot of times you don't really say much to people because I don't know what the reasoning may be, but, you know, sometimes you can say something, but there's no, you can speak and there's no response. But, so I guess most times it just comes to, the people in the same congregation. I guess it depends on your I don't know the word I'm looking for. When you work, well, when I was working, I guess I shared more so than now that I'm not working because I was around people more. And I would share when the opportunity presented itself, you know, just conversating with people a lot of times, things would come up and you could, that was your opportunity to share what the word said about whatever the situation or whatever it was that you were conversating about or they were going through or what, or even things that came up on the job and how to handle that, you know, and bring the word into it. Because many times you need it to look at it in that aspect, too, to get through it. But one thing that I was looking at, and I guess it says, talk point. When it mentioned after the resurrection, Peter left God's calling and went back to fishing. He and that stopped his fruitfulness. But Jesus came looking for him again. And the point, the talk point said, Jesus didn't want Peter's failure to permanently disqualify him. as a fisher of men, what are three serious sins that you've seen keep people from living a productive life for God?
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about it, and I thought about sometimes pride. You know, I don't know, you know, pride. Because people get puffed up. He uses another word, but I can't think of the word. And then sometimes people, you know, they know the word literally, but they're not living the word. And so they're telling people what the word says, but it's not really, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not really exemplified, is that the right word? In their life.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, and then I had a lack of faith and unbelief. So, it's a lot of this just made, you know, just cause you to really think.
Right.
About where you are yourself. There's a question on page 16. And it adds, I thought I read that. Maybe that wasn't it. But it made me think that, you know, I can't find the question. Oh, what does this say to you about how earnestly God perceives us? And it tells me that his love for us is unchanging, and his call on our life is very important to him, and those that he has chosen as well as those we are appointed to witness.
I hear you, and it's almost as though there are parts of your life that you separated. So, you know, like you were saying, it was easier when you were working, you know, because you really kind of had more access to just being out and, you know, in contact with individuals, right? And so I guess I view your life differently than you do. And it may be because, no, I do, because, and it may be because we are sometimes looking at different things. So whereas I see your life, and I've known you for what? Almost, I don't know, 20 years? I did not know you when you worked. You were retiring when I met you, I do believe. And but the thing was, I have seen your good works. They had nothing to do with your job. But the people and the life that you live, you have fruit from it to abundance. And it's that looks like Jesus. Okay, it's like you know you have a passion. I don't know how you define it, but everybody can tell you, you are a passionate woman. And you have an assignment, and you won't stop till it is done. And so it is that I'm committed to this. I am going to do this. Those are good works. You have a heart to bless God's program so that God's people will be blessed. You may not necessarily get up and teach a class, though you do, with the seniors and things like that. So there's so much that is emulating from your life, I think more now probably than when you were working, because you're now more available for your amazing destiny. And maybe you don't think of it as an amazing destiny, but it is. It's a phenomenal destiny. You know, and so sometimes I don't think we view it, you know, we're looking at it from a different lens than a God's eye view. And so as people see faithfulness, that you're a faithful person, okay? That's an abundance. And you have that root in abundance, and that's a blessing. And it's an honor to God. It honors God. It brings God glory. And so I think that when we are looking at these things, let Holy Spirit really show you your life. So if you look at a clock and there are 24 hours in a day, and what do you do for most of those hours? And I'm not going to tell different things that I know that you do. I know, okay? But how many people would say, yeah, Elder Roberta does that. Yeah, Elder Roberta did this. Yes, that it is your fruit in every area, whether it's a saved area, a prison, a hospital, a nursing home, someone's home that's ill. I mean, it's in the church. It's everywhere you go. I don't know, you know, the kind of neighbor you are, you know, in your neighborhood, but I'm sure they know. They know that there's a Christian woman that lives there. I am absolutely sure they know that. Okay? Because if correction is needed, I mean, you don't mind sharing God's standard with people that seem to either not know or understand what it should be. So, you know, I guess I feel like, you know, this needs to be a time of opening up a one part of the consecrations with the candidates is to get God to reveal you to you, good or bad, you know, right or wrong, or the good and the bad, I put it that way. And so that's almost like I'm not saying a false humility, because that's not what I'm saying at all, a blind spot that sometimes we have, and we don't understand how to rest and rejoice in that spot that we can't see, that we don't understand that it is a good work. And I'm not saying rest in your good work, you don't have to do nothing no more. No, but have a joy in that, have a peace in that, have an excitement in that, because you know it works. You know it exists. You know it's in operation, and it has transformed you. Because it has to, because that's what God, good work, transform us. That bush don't look like it did. That branch doesn't look like it used to. And even if it was the pruning that cut away the opportunities as it related to your employment, your professional life, but it opened you up to the light for a shift in your life and in your ministry, in your destiny. not that your destiny changed, but it went higher. It went you know how too much is given, much is fired. No, I don't mean that one. Because you were faithful over a few things. You know, he gives you rule over many. And rule just means he gives you the right to be established in those places so that you can continue to use your fruit to feed the people in those places. So I think we want to... Okay. We have... Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to make a comment about Elder's comment. I do agree. And when you said faithfulness, I think your faithfulness, because the faithfulness in the fruit of the Spirit is integrity. You know, I mean, it's even more than just being faithful to it, but like being someone that can be counted on, you know, that it's an integral part, the fidelity of the person, along with kindness and goodness. Some of them say gentleness. I don't really get that translation, but I think the King James says long-suffering, goodness and kindness. And in studies, I don't know, 30 years ago, I remember doing a workshop, and I can't tell you what author, but he distinguished between kindness and goodness, and he said that goodness is meeting the need. That there are many Christians, when they are aware of something, that they will meet the need, and that's what good people do. They meet it. But kindness... And Elder, I think that you would fall in both of those categories. Not only goodness, but kindness. Because the kindness seeks the need. You know, I thought I'm good. I don't know whether I'm really kind. I'm not out seeking the need. There's some people who go out and seek the need. You know, where nothing has been asked of them, they just find people. You know, they start conversations randomly with people in stores and bus stops and doctor's offices and find out that there might be a need in somebody's life and actually try to do something to, you know, help them in that situation when they go that extra step. Nobody would say anything if you didn't, but the fact that you do puts it in a different category. It elevates service and the level of commitment to God and his people. So, I think that just based on what you're saying and with just the interactions, you know, that I know of you and that kind of thing. But also based on what the author was saying, when you started talking about the water and washing and cleansing us, it's amazing to me that how we can damage each other. You know, when you have fruit and one piece of fruit is leaning on the other, you know, they make all of these things to house fruit in something that's open and airy. So everybody can have its space. The grapes are leaning against the bananas or the oranges or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because if there's anything that's going on in one, it's just amazing how quickly the entire group can be contaminated. So, you know, I think one thing that I've been doing with the whole fruit thing is just when I think about fruit, because I see it everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's such a, you know, I mean, in the net, I'm talking about just the regular old fruit that we see. And then how many just in the natural fruits that we don't know? You know, go to different ethnic neighborhoods and look at some of the food. How many things can you just look into? What is that? I would never touch that. I certainly wouldn't eat it. You know, so when we think about that, the diversity in the body of Christ, you know, and the prescription that we need to be unified, but we don't turn into the same. We don't lose our uniqueness. You know, it's not like it's a melting pot, but it is. You know, it's almost like it's like a stew that everybody's, you're still whoever you are, but we're all in this together, and we need all of the, you know, all of the pieces. You know, so all of those, all nine of those of those fruits. As you go out, I saw a sign that said, love is love. And I'm thinking, okay, what does that mean? You know, but I mean, it was like, hey, this is profound. This is what God is, love is love. It's like, love is love really doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, you can try to think about it
right
in the way that the person is thinking about it, but God is love. Love, you know, love is an expression of who God is. Love is love in and of itself outside of God becomes less than the agape, you know, that, you know, that
right.
we see. And my very last rambling point is the part of that where he talks about, it's just is mind-boggling to me, that he will just get rid of this fruit if that's not where what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
That just, to me, is like, really, like, really, God? You know, it's like, okay, it's nothing really wrong with the fruit. It's just either maybe it has accumulated too quickly, you know, that maybe your branch is so lopsided, only one area is just growing, and so it's preventing anything else from maturing, and because of the weight of one is bringing the branch down and ultimately will destroy the whole thing. But it's hard to wrap my head around it because it seems like, you know, I'm just used to anything good is acceptable to God, and that's what he wants. But, you know, in reading this in John 15, that whole pruning, that he prunes away whatever is ineffective for the overall growth and maturity of, you know, of that branch. And he knows, you know, that the vine dresser knows exactly, you know, what it takes, you know, what's too much, what's not enough, and what he needs to cut back. So this could be a dangerous road you're going down. You know, it's producing, but, you know, maybe why, or, you know, to what end. Anyway, that's my rant for today.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love it because I believe what it helps us to see is a God's eye view. A God's eye view. And the fact that when we don't, we have often fallen victim, okay, to traditional thinking. And he never wants us to do that. He said his thoughts are so high above ours. He doesn't want us to get satisfied or situated in a thought process that is not being elevated continually by him. And so to understand what he's looking at now, okay, and I think for Elder Roberta, what this has done, it has become who she is. So she doesn't see it as work. It's just, oh, well, that's what I have to do. You know, before, it was work. I need to talk to people and tell them about Jesus and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he says, it's even simpler than that. You be you, and that'll do it for me. That's what God is saying.
Yeah.
So, and we try to make it complicated. He said, you do you, who I created you to be, and you'll bring me glory. You don't have to keep track. You don't have to, you know, I got this for you. Okay, I'm taking your fruit and your bucket. And so I just want to encourage everyone to seek a God's eye view. That's why I love these prayers that they often put in a thought, what they call it, reflections and stuff like that. Because it is, go beyond me. You know, I want to go where he is. So I want to see what he sees. And I thank him, you know, that, you know, as she was talking, it's like, no. I mean, you're abounding in good work. Off from the task, probably sleep, you know, when you wake up. And generally that's true about all of you, everybody. We just don't see it that way because we're trying to look out the eyes of man or leaders or prophets or priests or, you know, judges. I'm talking about the people in the Bible. You know, and so it's like, oh, compared to them, you know, the David eyes and the Goliath eyes. No, God's eyes. Oh, he sees things totally different. And so as long as we are, sight is being impeded, okay, we're going to be spiritually stuck thinking, you know, okay, I'm not doing something. You know, we end up doing more punishment to ourselves than God even intends to happen. Okay. That's a search for significance. I need to be punished. Those of me who, you know, don't perform should be punished. And, you know, no. God got this. Now, you may be punished for the sin in your life, and not punished, disciplined to bring correction, you know, so that you do have life. And so just be encouraged and seek the revelation of what this secret of the vine relationship is all about. Like Elder Deborah said, the thought of fruit. Now, you know, and I'm eating apples and oranges. Every time I get one, it's like, ooh, this is a fruit. You know, and so honestly, this morning, I asked Deacon, and it was fruit, that, you know, fruit's on the table, whatever. And so it's like, what is that meant? And I'm looking, I'm kind of saying, is it a potato? And he saw me. He said, it's a mango. Y'all don't eat those. And I thought, oh, is that what it looks like? So we are introduced to fruit all the time. And so when Elder Deborah said that about fruit from other cultures,
it's messy but delicious.
Well, you know, and that's why he just said it to me. He said, y'all don't eat it. Like, y'all poor things, y'all don't even know. Okay.
So
I'm challenged to get me a piece, right? And he'll definitely let me share. But it's just, that's our original thought. Until we see it and are introduced to it, we have no idea its value or its deliciousness, if you will. And so, so, you know, just having this study with this thing that is so commonplace for us every day is going to keep our minds focused on, okay, the vine, the fruit, the branch, the vine dresser. You know, every time I see a bucket of water, now I'm done. Oh, it's like, here you go. Jesus. Yes.
And overseer, good morning. I want to say, as Elder Roberta and then was saying, I realized when you were speaking on the devotion that we are caught up on what we hear ourselves saying, but not what we actually doing. And I can confess that one morning, and many times you called me, and it's just been what I needed for, and the prayer that she gave, and everything. What I needed to get out of the rut that I was in. So sometimes we might think that we were just doing it on work, but you're doing it every day of your life when you lifting up people and you encourage them. You might not know the story, but God knows he put them on your heart to call them and to speak word of truth. And I just thank God for the inspiration and encouragement and the words that get you where you need to be. And that's the word of God. And you live it in your heart. And when God put somebody on your mind, you follow in obedience. And, you know, you might not think, oh, should I pick up the phone? Yes, you should, because God has a word for you. And I just thank God for all of you all that, you know, encourage, and that's the fruit of the Spirit, what we're learning in this book, and the encouragement that goes forth to get us out of that place to go forth in our destiny and our purpose and our work. That's all I want to say.
Well, amen, amen, amen. And I pray that you're all encouraged, because allow God to show you, okay? You're not as bad a person as you think. You know, we're not as, you know, hopeless a person as we think. We're not as slow as we think. Some may be slow. But I mean, you know, slow as it relates to receiving the word. But, you know what? He's in control. He really is. And he will intervene. And we're going to really look at that intervention more closely next week. And which, when we start this what is it? It's actually probably day two, if I think about it. Day two, and really from the best thing you haven't heard to Love by Degree and the A Country Awakening, chapter 3 and 4, I think we're going to look at in this. And then pick up with the study from the study guide in the, let's see here. I'll just kind of give you page of where we'll pick up. What is that page? Week 2. Week 2, page 21. And that's when we're, if the recommended reading is The Secret of the Vine, chapters 3 and 4, and on the devotional, week 2. So that's where we're going to be focused on next week. In the devotional, if you have it, week 2, Secrets of the Vine, the book, will be chapter 3 and 4. And in the study guide, it will start on page 21. Well, really 20. 22. Oh, that's a 3. Okay. Yeah, let's start on page 21. All right. Anybody else? Anything else? Hey, I encourage you to share with some of the awesome ministry opportunities going to take place this week, this weekend, and let's see, before we meet again. No, this is Friday, right? No. Actually, before we meet again, it'll be another month, and anniversary this Sunday, 10:30 service and 4:30 service, and we're going to have our baptism after the 10:30 service, and the men are actually going to continue barbecuing for us after church. Okay, so have a little mini fellowship there, especially for those that want to stay for the evening offering, and you'll have, you know, some little eats to consume you. All right, so if nothing else, is this second Saturday? No, it's not second Saturday. No, is it third Saturday? So we're pretty good. All right, so enjoy, embrace, know, and obey the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Be blessed. Enjoy the rain. Yay.
Be blessed.
Amen.
Yeah, y'all know. I like the snow and the rain. Yeah. It needs rain. The ground needed rain. Stuff was looking brown. Okay. Okay. Just stay dry if you need to, or get wet and enjoy it. Whatever.
I love you.
I love you guys as well. So much. All right.
Bless.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okie dokie.
Mm-hmm.